evening, everyone. We are going to start the meeting. Chairman Ruzzo is stuck at work event, but he is on his way. So we're going to get started, and he will join us shortly. So I'm going to call the meeting to order, and the first order of business is a roll call. So Mr. Emmerich, if you wouldn't mind taking the roll.
Sure. Supervisors and movement.
Here.
Supervisor Farrar.
Here.
Supervisor Lightfoot.
Here.
Supervisor Hunt.
Here.
You have four present.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Frank. Okay, just a minor announcement, the same announcement that we always make. Even though it's supposed to be in the meeting room here, all of our meetings are recorded. And we advise everybody that is attending that anything that they say will be part of the record. We encourage everyone to speak very clearly into the microphones, and those that might be presenting this evening, if you wouldn't mind coming up to the podium, stating your name and the organization that you're with, just so that we have accurate minutes for this evening's meeting. And tonight we are reconvening the public hearing regarding the conditional use application number 2022-6. Plat 1359, which is filed by Equitable owner Linlow Governor Crossing LLC, and Sheets as the co-applicant regarding a master plan development for redevelopment of land generally located in the southwest quadrant of the intersection of West Governor Road and Fishburne Road to include a series of non-residential and residential uses. So at this point, I will turn the hearing over to our solicitor, Mr. Nelson, and we'll get started this evening.
Just one, or actually let's do two administrative matters before we get going. One, depending on when we end tonight, when it's convenient, if we end a little early, I might use that time to look for additional dates. I know we have one more date, I believe it's June 21st. That's already scheduled. Unless things start speeding up, I suspect probably we're going to need one or two more hearings past that date. So if we do have the time, I will be asking to look for dates in July and August, which with the summer vacation might be a little difficult. Secondly, I was looking through one of the only transcripts I do have, but it was from two meetings ago, and I noticed at the end of the transcript there had been some exhibits that had been offered to be placed in the record, and Mr. Strong, I believe you asked for the chance to review them, and then he would deal them at the beginning of the following meeting. However, I think we all forgot that and did not deal with them. So I was wondering if you want to deal with them now, or should we push this off until June and try to stick a pin in and remember?
Yeah. I'll be honest, I forgot that we had that discussion.
Yes. Well, so did I, and only by looking at the transcript for some other issue that I realized, oh, okay, wait a second. So why don't we, in the June meeting, if you can go back, I'll send you the page for a transcript. I think that's fine.
Okay.
That was discussed, and so you know what exhibits they are, and then we can talk about them at the beginning of June. That would be good.
Okay. Sure. Thank you.
With that being said, I believe the township engineer is back on the stand, and I believe Mr. Greenberg, you want to go first, and then Mr. Getz. Is that correct? At this point in time. Yes.
Okay. How about it?
Can you push the button? Sir, can you push that button?
Of course.
Thank you.
Is it working now?
Yes. Can you state your name?
Edward Greenberg, Ward Greenberg, Heller and Reedy, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
For KinderCare. Good evening, Mr. Stump.
How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Mr. Stump, Mr. McNair questioned you on direct examination at the last hearing, April 26, 2023. And near the end of the examination, he asked you whether the traffic impact of the proposed development would be lessened if one or two of the proposed buildings were eliminated. And you answered that it would. Is that right?
That's correct.
We have all heard testimony about the expected vehicle and pedestrian conflicts within the development and the four buildings that are proposed. Would the expected vehicle and pedestrian conflicts within the development be lessened if one or two of the proposed buildings were eliminated?
You have less traffic within the development, you're going to have less potential for conflict.
So that's a yes?
Yes.
Mr. Emmerich, would you pull up Exhibit A11, please? For the record, this is one of the applicant's exhibits, one of Linlow's exhibits in this matter. It was offered and admitted into evidence several hearings ago. Mr. Stump, this is Linlow's exhibit A11. Do you see that it depicts a proposed Hope Drive extension that goes straight through the KinderCare property?
I do, yes.
And in fact, it goes right through part of the KinderCare building, correct?
Correct.
Were you here when Linlow's traffic engineer Greg Creasy testified on February 22nd, 2023.
Yep.
I showed this exhibit to him during the hearing, and do you recall he was questioned about it? I'm not asking if you remember all the questions, but you remember it was part of the question.
I recall there was a discussion prior to this exhibit.
Mr. Emmerich, would you now pull up exhibit FSC1? This is an exhibit offered by Mr. Getz on behalf of KinderCare's landlord, FSC. Mr. Stump, I showed Mr. Creasy this exhibit, FSC1. Which shows a proposed Hope Drive extension that goes around the KinderCare building, but requires relocation of the KinderCare parking lot. Can you see that?
Yes.
Mr. Emmerich, would you now pull up KinderCare Exhibit 1? First page.
Is it a W1?
No. There it is. Yes, that's it. Can you zoom out just a hair?
Here's the problem. New computer, new PDF.
All right.
I'll work on that one you told me.
Bottom right of the magnifying
glasses. That's good. Mr. Emmerich, that's fine. Mr. Stump, I next showed Mr. Creasy this 2015 Route 322 corridor evaluation study by HRG, which we marked KinderCare Exhibit 1, and he acknowledged that this study was done by HRG for Derry Township in 2015. You recall seeing this?
Correct, yes.
And I asked Mr. Creasy to acknowledge that the purpose of the Hope Drive extension proposed by Linlow is to improve traffic circulation near the east end of the Hershey Medical Center by providing a more direct route from the medical center to Fishburne Road, and he agreed with that. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Mr. Emmert, within this exhibit, if you can go by the PDF pages, yes, I'd like to go to page 36. When I showed this page to Mr. Creasy, I asked him whether he agreed that the Hope Drive extension that was proposed in this study had the same intent. And we looked at the third bullet point up to the bottom, the large one, where it deals with this issue. And he said, yes, the intent is the same, to improve the traffic flow from the medical center to Fishburne Road. Recall that?
I recall that.
Okay.
Question.
Well, let's see. Around the middle of that large paragraph, do you see the sentence that starts, this connection would improve traffic circulation near the east end of the Hershey Medical Center by providing a more direct route from the medical center to Fishburne Road? You see that?
Yes.
And Mr. Creasy admitted that the intent of the Hope Drive modification or extension in this proposal had the same intent as Linlow's proposal.
That's correct.
Finally, I showed him page 51 of this PDF. I'd like to go to that. Okay, now we need to zoom out again. A little more. I need the right side of the, yeah. That's it. Mr. Stump, I showed Mr. Creasy the photo on the right side of the page, which shows a Hope Drive extension proposed in that study, which goes around the KinderCare building and parking lot and does not affect either one. Can you see that?
Yes.
And then I asked him whether his plan, A11, which calls for Hope Drive to run through the KinderCare building, would be more effective at improving traffic circulation than HRG's 2015 plan. And after pausing to think about that, he admitted that either plan would accomplish the same objective and that he couldn't say that one plan would be more effective than the other. Do you recall that testimony?
I would agree that the blue line that we're looking at here is comparable in terms of traffic flow and efficiency to what indicated.
The blue line is what?
Sorry, the blue alternate shown on this exhibit on the right provides comparable traffic flow as to what had been shown on that other exhibit that Linlow had provided.
So the intent can be accomplished with this plan without taking away the KinderCare property.
Correct. With the note that this is not really a plan, this is a magic marker type
concept.
A very preliminary concept. Just it really was showing the intent was to get a direct connection from the medical center over to Fishburne without having to weave on Cherry and then Sand Hill to improve that traffic flow. We're calling this a plan, I think, is overstating what this is. This is really showing the concept, which is being accomplished also by the exhibit that Linlow had shown.
Could this be developed into a plan?
Perhaps.
Do you see any reason why it couldn't?
When you go from a concept to a plan, lots of things change for different reasons, whether it be radii, inner turning movements, right of way considerations, cost implications, grading. So, again, I think the intent was to show that there could be an alignment here.
Okay.
I think with this plan, I don't know why he had shown it to be missing the kitchen care property. I don't know if that was practical or not. I think there were discussion about going through the parking lot of the kitchen care property and relocating the parking lot. My understanding was that there were some preliminary discussions either with the tenant or the owner. I wasn't involved in those discussions, but that there was not much receptiveness to relocating the parking lot. And so the thought was maybe they'd be more receptive to going through the building and relocating them to another facility, whether it be on Med Center property or somewhere else, and maybe there'd be some cost savings in that way, in lower construction costs if the entire kindergarten property were relocated to a new facility somewhere in the same vicinity.
Well, did you hear the testimony from the owner of Linlow, Mr. Gates, that the medical center would be willing to pitch in $1.1 or $1.2 million if it didn't have to relocate Hope Drive to match up with this plan here? Did you hear that?
I believe there was an email or something to that extent that was shown during these hearings. I think that's the first I had seen of that discussion or dialogue. The feedback we got, I believe it was from representatives of the township, is that there was a preliminary discussion with the property owner, and they weren't receptive to even having the parking lot impacted. So I thought maybe it would be more desirable to have a different location nearby.
Can you give us any reason why Linlow's A11 design, which goes through the KinderCare building, it would be better at relieving traffic congestion than this blue concept drawing that we're looking at here?
I think they were both showing the same intent in terms of traffic flow. The Linlow plan was purely indicating that what they're proposing could be compatible with the future extension out to Cherry Drive in the future. I think it's been beaten to death here that is not proposed as part of their plan. But I think they were just showing that that connection could be made. I don't know if they put a lot of thought into exactly where that alignment would be either, other than just showing how it's going to tie in to their driveway.
Thanks. I have no other questions.
Thank you. Mr. Getz?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Eric.
Dave Getz, I represent FSD Properties, which is the owner of the property where KinderCare is located. Mr. Stump, not to go back over everything, but the two exhibits, kind of the two walrus I would describe, the 2015 HRG concept and 2020 HRG concept, were you involved in both of those?
I was.
Did HRG spend a good bit of time looking at the way that the alignments could be made?
There was a plan for that extension or the connection out to Fishburne Road and the relocation of Samuel. I think it goes back maybe 2003 or so. So I think we were trying to be consistent with that, and then again getting the idea that to get a more direct connection to the Med Center, because there's a lot of traffic that's right now using Cherry to Sandhill and looking to get that more streamlined. In terms of where the exact location of that would be, I wouldn't say that was beyond the concept level in any of that work. The idea was that it would improve traffic flow, but certainly survey and more detailed design and cost estimating will be needed to determine where that alignment ultimately would be.
Are you aware whether Linlow has done that level of work in presenting of Exhibit A11?
I don't necessarily want to speak for them, but my understanding was that was, again, a concept to show how it could connect into their driveway. I don't know if they spent a lot of time identifying exact alignment between Cherry and their driveway.
Do you know who's where the idea came from to tear the, to drive the road through the building instead of around the building?
So in order to have it go around the building, there also required to be some work on the other side of Cherry Drive at the detention basin, and of course the driveway. But there's costs associated with that impact and of course right away impact as well. Again, as I mentioned, my understanding was that there was some preliminary discussions with the kindergarten property owner or tenant who indicated that they did not want to see their parking lot relocated, that they would not be comfortable with the road that close to their building. And for those reasons, thought it might be more palatable to save the cost on the west side of Cherry Drive and look at a relocation of the kindergarten.
If I represented to you that my client purchased the property in March of 2022, would you be able to know whether those conversations took place before or after that time?
It was well before that time.
So it's very possible my client had no idea about all this until we came and saw Exhibit A11.
That could be.
Okay. Chuck, do you have the kind of concept plan that Lindlow has submitted?
Exhibit number?
It's A11.
Not 11.
You mean that or the entire?
No, the entire thing.
That's 825.
825. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Stone, there has been a lot of testimony about this concrete thing right here on Fishburne Road that has been referred to as a pork chop. Are you familiar with where that is?
Yes.
If the right out was eliminated from this site and you would just simply have a right in, could that pork chop be eliminated? The structure itself, the concrete.
So PennDOT has concern, would also have concern then with people making a left into the site. I'm not sure if they'd be able to get a design that alleviates that concern without having some sort of structure in there or not. It's difficult to say definitively if they could channelize that well enough to make it to really physically restrict that left turn entering.
So if this exit and entrance was completely eliminated, that would address that issue, wouldn't it?
That's correct.
And would that then allow the raised concrete barricade to disappear?
If that driveway were eliminated altogether, I don't think there would be, and that would be requiring a median along the road.
There was also a good deal of testimony about when...
I'm sorry, if I could take that back. There are other turn lanes and other things proposed. They may still be looking for a median through there because of the turn lanes along Fishburne Road. I shouldn't say definitively that if those, that right in right out driveway were removed, there still may be some turn restrictions along the existing driveways along Fishburne.
I think we all know that you'll speak for PennDOT.
That would be a tough task.
You also, there was also a good bit of testimony about this proposed Kitty Academy, and that their peak would be in the morning and the afternoon when parents are arriving. Do you remember that testimony?
Correct.
Do you recall the big testimony that parents would be there for about 10 minutes to drop their child off and make sure they were settled and that sort of thing?
I'll take your word on the 10 minutes. I don't remember that number exactly, but I remember there was a short period. Don't remember that.
Is the parking in this area sufficient for all the parents to be dropping off their children during an AM rush or AM peak?
I believe their testimony was that it was in that, and potentially the parking along the side. I don't know if that was intended to be employees over on the side, or if that was potentially also to be used for parent drop-off.
If a parent parks in these spaces in the top part of what I'll call the Kitty Academy property, how are they going to safely get their child to the front door?
They're walking across the parking lot, I would imagine.
While other parents are backing up, pulling in, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And similar to what you have on, in just about any parking lot where you have people traversing the parking lot while other vehicles may be pulling in and out.
Could that be made safe if there was a sidewalk all the way around the exterior there?
Perhaps if it's used.
Well, right, that's always the issue. If there's ever a project to extend Hope Drive across Cherry Drive, would PennDOT be involved in that process?
That would depend on the funding source for that, but that is that the connection between two township roads, certainly that project could occur without PennDOT involvement. If there is a new traffic signal as part of that, PennDOT would be involved with the signal permit. And again, if there were any PennDOT funding involved with the project, which would sometimes occur even along local roads, then PennDOT would be involved.
Would, to your knowledge, would PennDOT exercise eminent domain to take properties to facilitate that relocation or that extension?
I'm not aware of any plans for that PennDOT would have currently. Again, I can't say what they might do in the future, but I would not expect them to take eminent domain or use eminent domain to take property.
And finally, if PennDOT would not, could the township exercise eminent domain to take property?
They could. Again, I don't know that they've agreed to for that connection. But the township does have the power of eminent domain.
Sure. And that any recommendation, you'd certainly be involved in the process.
Yeah, you would be.
And if that ever arose in the future, and the current owner of the property was more interested in preserving the building, you would certainly take that into account.
I think as we would be developing alignments and the impact of the property owners is part of what goes into developing the exact alignment, and you look to get some feedback from them.
Okay, thank you. That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Baker.
Mr. Nelson, would we be able to move the podium over here so that we don't have to look back at Mr. Stone?
You when you come up, anyone questioning a witness is able to move the podium within reason. Yeah.
And I think I'd like to do that.
It looked a little cumbersome otherwise. Yeah, that's the back story. You're the engineers who are well, so I think the former committee.
We got it. Yeah.
There we go. Ready? Yeah. I think this is going to work better.
Of course, I'm going my back to you now.
It's okay.
And I'm not. So, Mr. Stump, my name is Mark Winter. I'm an attorney representing Ron Blumberg, who owns Ron's Barbershop, and also in my own capacity as a resident of Cocoa Towns. What I'd like to do is take you through some areas of the roadways and ask you some questions. And Chuck, the first thing that I'd like to do would be to get an exhibit up that would show a nice aerial photograph that would show Fishburne Road south of the proposed relocated Sand Hill Road. Specifically, I'd like to start with the alley, Chuck.
Do you have an exhibit?
I don't. I'm not sure if A11 encompasses the part of the alley that I'd be looking for.
I'm going to be doing this. And I again apologize, Google Earth is not an icon on this computer. Does that work for
me? Yes, it does. I think you stuck the landing now. Right behind the giant chunk, you know where the giant is, just to your right. And then just to the left of that, there's the two white rectangles, which is a Penn State, right there, that's a Penn State medical building. Yeah, okay. That's perfect if you could just hold it at that spot. So, Mr. Stump, the few questions that I have here start with the alley sort of toward the upper left-hand portion where the alley leaves Fishburne Road and then goes behind the series of buildings that front onto Fishburne Road. Do you see that area, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So up where the proposed new stoplight would be, let's start at that location where one would enter the alley and oh here. Right in this area here, sir.
Yep.
Okay. Now I can't remember from the last testimony, but I believe you said that at some point the alley is only 14 and a half feet wide. Is that true?
I believe it, yes.
Okay. At the entrance onto Fishburne Road, do you know how wide the alley currently is?
I think that's where the 14 and a half measurement came from, was right near that intersection.
And then does it widen a little bit as it progresses down the alley, do you know? Does it get any wider?
I'm not certain if it does. I can measure it here. Looks like it might get a little bit wider from the back.
Just as general engineering principles, if two cars had to pass by each other going in opposite directions, is 14 and a half feet a safe width for two cars passing simultaneously?
No, that would be narrower than you'd want to have two cars on a roadway passing each other.
Is there a standard in the industry that would be sort of a minimal width?
Typically, 10 foot per lane is the minimum. There is some criteria on the low volume roads, maybe go down to 9 foot, but okay. Generally 10 foot a lane, so 20 foot width. I think we have a comment specifically with regard to that, at least up near the intersection, to widen the road to provide for two-way traffic up near the signal where you may have the car stopped at the at a red light quickly leaves while somebody's trying to enter the alley.
Right up in this area. Sure. Do you know, sir, who owns this alley? Is this a Derry Township alley?
I believe the township has rights to that back to a point. I'm not sure where that ends. And what kind of rights those are, or how well recorded those are. But my understanding is that there was some public right of way back there.
And have you ever seen that right of that document?
Did
you
know
if it exists?
No.
Okay. So this is things that you've heard.
Correct.
Okay. And do you know who maintains that alley? Who plows the snow and resurfaces the wearing surface?
I don't know.
Now, as you come down the alley proceeding south, and you're heading toward the back of the giant grocery store, which is here on the right side, as you're coming down here, is there a public access to Fishburne Road down in this location?
I don't believe there's a public connection there. I think there is a connection, but not that's publicly owned.
So, and again, if we see the words Conestoga I think it would be over here between 833 Fishburne Road and 859. There's a driveway, is there not, that leads into the medical center facility?
Correct. There's a paved connection there But again, to your question, whether that's publicly owned, I think discussions we've had with the township in the past are that that connection is not publicly owned. Again, haven't necessarily researched it or seen it with my own eyes, whether there's something there or not.
So
but that's my understanding.
If we can properly assume that, that this driveway is not, in fact, a public access driveway, would it not be true that essentially what you have here from the entrance to the alley up to this location and coming all the way down the alley is essentially a very long cul-de-sac?
I would agree.
And at the end of the cul-de-sac, there's no turnaround area, is there?
Correct.
Okay. So if traffic were to enter and proceed in a southerly direction down the alley, thinking that there's going to be a way to get out, and they find out there isn't, what is a driver who maybe isn't familiar with the area going to have to do?
If they access either through private property or make a three-point turn to turn around and come back.
And come back out to this location.
Correct.
Okay. Now, Chuck, if we can move the, maybe just, we'll say stay with the same exhibit, maybe we can just move it down to the area where the proposed development will be. Yeah, perfect, right there. So, very nice. So, Mr. Stump, we see right now the existing Sand Hill Road, correct?
Yep.
What I'm showing there with the cursor. And then to the south is where the proposed Sand Hill Road is going to be located. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, to line up with the entrance to the alley?
Yes, we're located to that general vicinity.
Yeah, okay. So in the area just to the north of existing Sand Hill Road, somewhere in this general location is where this proposed pork chop is going to be located. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And as a condition of having the pork chop, and we've discussed the purposes of the pork chop, a right-in, right-out only, and one of the reasons to have a median wall is to make sure that a car traveling north on Fishburne Road wouldn't attempt to make a left-hand turn through the pork chop into the development. Is that correct?
I think the median that they're now proposing is more to discourage traffic from making a left out of the development on the Fishburne Road.
Okay, making a left out and going in this direction and proceeding north.
Correct. So they changed the design of the island or the channelization area to elongate the one side of it to prevent the lefts coming in. So it's not really a median, it's more the shape of the channelization island.
If we could go back a little bit to the history of the pork chop, when did you first became aware as the township engineer that this was a potential development feature, the pork chop, the right in, right out only?
I'd have to go back and look, but I believe that's been part of the plan since its early concept sketches.
And those sketches go back to what, I think, 2015, maybe earlier?
Perhaps that time frame with the prior applicant.
And you've been with the township throughout this process, have you not been?
That's correct. Okay.
In your opinion, in order for the project to go ahead and be developed, is the pork chop absolutely an essential element of the design? Could the project be developed without the pork chop?
If they were to maintain right-in, right-out access there, they would need to maintain the pork chop. If the right-in, right-out access were to be removed, if that's your question,
yes.
I think that the traffic circulation and the results of the traffic study might be very comparable without that driveway. They haven't done that analysis, so I can't say that definitively, but my expectation is that relocating the traffic that's coming in and out of that right-in, right-out driveway to their other driveway could still facilitate level service comparable to what they have now.
Could the project be then developed without the pork chop?
I guess that would depend on whether there's a market for it without the pork chop, but from a traffic flow standpoint,
From an engineering standpoint.
From an engineering standpoint, that would be valuable.
Obviously, there are certain elements of the engineering design that are essential, but your testimony is the pork chop, while it's important, is not essential. Would that be a true statement?
For traffic flow, right.
Okay. And you are the traffic engineer?
Yes.
Okay. And I think Mr. Getz has asked you a question a moment ago. Would it be possible to just have the write-in only element of the pork chop and then all the traffic exiting and coming out through the newly relocated Sand Hill Road with a traffic light? Would that be possible?
Again, from a traffic flow standpoint, I think that would be acceptable. I think PennDOT would find that acceptable as well.
Now, if you had a write-in only in lieu of the pork chop, which is right in, right out. If you had the right in only for traffic coming from the north, driving south, making a right-hand turn, or even traffic that's out here on Governor Road on 322 coming up and turning at the light and coming in, if they miss the other entrance, which is proposed a little further to the west. But if somebody coming in, they would be able to use this write-in, is that correct? If you had the write-in only, would you still require the median separating the lanes, the north-south lanes on Fishburne Road?
I'm not certain if they would still require a median because you do have other turn lanes in that area from the traffic signals. And not based on what's the median to restrict left for that purpose.
Okay.
Even if the driveway were not there, you still may be looking at left-turn restrictions along Fishburne.
Now, you had written up a letter in response to the traffic impact study. You wrote this letter October the 17th of 2022. Mr. McNair included it as an exhibit in his presentation. It was T3, exhibit T3.
Is that a request?
Well, yeah, why not? Put it up. I've got it in front of me. Everybody should see it. So this is the Mr. McNair T3. I'm looking for review letter number 2, please, Chuck. And I just want to go over a couple points that you raised in your letter. First, you talked in paragraph 2 about the fact that there's going to be a lot more traffic going east and west through this intersection, and you indicated there could be several hundred feet more traffic. Is that true? Cars could be stopped. Paragraph 2. Signal retiming is proposed for the intersection of 322 and Cherry Drive.
Correct. We did increase the stacking along 322 eastbound and westbound.
Right. So, again, this project is proposed to bring more traffic to this intersection, is it not? Just by virtue of the fact that there's going to be residential apartments, 24/7 sheets, a kinder care, well not a kinder care, but a child care, and a medical arts building. More traffic is coming on Governor Road. True?
Correct. I don't know how much is on Governor and how much is on Cherry, but I calculated that the percent of traffic increase at the 322 Cherry intersection was between 4% and 5%, depending on which peak hour you were looking at.
And you would agree that this intersection has already been identified as one of the most congested intersections in a large geographic area. Is that correct? It's not just Erie Township.
I think 322 in Fishburne has been identified as a intersection that's rather congested. 322 and Cherry, I think, had some additional capacity available to it.
And so would bringing more traffic into this intersection decrease the congestion?
No, certainly adding traffic is going to decrease the additional capacity that's available.
Now, in the same letter in paragraph 4A, you talk about the proposed median will create access restrictions for at least one driveway. You made that statement?
Correct.
And you would, I assume, would be referring to my client, Ron Blumberg, Ron's Barbershop?
I think there are actually several driveways that would be impacted, but yes, at least that one.
Okay. And the impact to Mr. Blumberg would be the fact that he would have a right out and right in only, is that correct?
Correct.
Because right now, his customers can make left-hand turns in and out, right-hand turns in and out of his property, is that correct?
That's correct.
So you're going to restrict that, is that true? Not you personally, but I mean the...
Right. The median would restrict his left turn to the front that today he's able to make.
So you do agree with the statement that you wrote that the proposed median will create access restrictions?
Correct.
Your next, in paragraph 4B, you raised the question, confirm with PennDOT if any driveway restrictions or closures are required for the existing driveways along Fishburne Road. Do you know whether anybody has ever made that determination yet?
So that is part of the HOP process. Once you get through the traffic impact study, then you look at, if you lay out the improvements, you start engineering a little bit more than you do in the traffic study phase, and at that point you start looking closer at the impact of each property, where your grading makes sense to, whether you need right-of-way or easements, and whether you're affecting any existing driveways with potential for a property owner to get a driveway at some point in the future. I believe they've initiated that process with their first HOP submission to PennDOT, but I'd let them, the applicant, weigh in on exactly where they are in that process. But certainly that needs to be done as part of the HOP process, where you identify which driveways are impacted and which ones may require a left turn restriction or some other restriction.
Continuing on in your letter, paragraph 4D, you have a repeat comment. Confirm if any improvements are planned with the alley at Fishburne and the relocated Sand Hill Road, as this alley appears narrow to accommodate entering and exiting traffic simultaneously. We talked about that just a moment ago. Do you know whether any improvements are actually planned at this point?
I have not seen a plan that shows any widening of that alley at this point.
And speaking of plans at this point, so obviously you've seen the traffic impact study.
Correct.
You've seen some conceptual plans, is that correct?
Correct.
And those would have been designed by Mr. Creasy, is that correct?
It would have been developed by part of the applicant team. I'm not, Mr. Creasy typically does the traffic study, and then a different consultant might do the HOP. I'm not sure how much Mr. Creasy does in the concept stage before he passes it off to the HOP designer.
Is that Mr. Pearson involved with that?
I believe it was KCI doing that. I'm not sure who it is.
Preston, yes.
Preston, and you're KCI?
Yes.
Okay. And you're based in Mechanicsburg, I believe?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. And just for the record, just so she has it, your name is?
Ian Preston.
Ian.
Yes,
I-A-N.
P-R-E-S-T-O-N.
Thank you, sir. And I don't believe you've testified at any of these hearings yet, have you?
That's
correct. So, Chuck, if we could go to the exhibit from Mr. McNair, his T4, which was the traffic impact study.
T4?
Well, it was Mr. McNair's T4. It's Governor Crossing TIS Roadway Improvements Concept Plan. That's it. Thank you. And just a few questions here, Mr. Stone. Chuck, could you make that just a little bit larger, please? Ah, that's much better. Thank you, Chuck. So one of the little blue box that says left turn restriction and right of way, I believe it's, where is that right? Who knows where my arrow is at? There it is. Okay. And this, I believe, would be Mr. Blumberg's property. Is this the location then, sir, where the median barrier is proposed?
That's correct.
And it starts essentially at the end of the pork chop, so to speak, and then extends in a southwardly direction for some distance down Fishburne Road?
Correct.
And we have Mr. Blumberg's property here. And I guess he owns a separate tract of land right here, so there's two adjacent tracts. And then just to the south of Mr. Blumberg's boundary, we have Mr. Corrado's property.
Correct.
Okay. Now, Mr. Corrado's property does not appear to have a driveway entering onto Fishburne Road, does it?
That's correct. The driveway for that property is off of that alley.
And this is the alley where there would be the traffic light.
Correct.
So Mr. Corrado's property, if the development went through and there were a traffic light at the relocated Sand Hill Road, he would have access in and out of his property via a controlled traffic signal, correct?
Correct.
Now Mr. Blumberg, right next door, he would only be able to make a right-hand turn out of his property, is that correct?
Yes.
And he would... His customers entering would only be able to make a right-hand turn into his property. They would have to be coming from Fishburne Road, south of his property right now, in a northerly direction, and then make a right-hand turn into his property, correct?
That's correct.
And then when they leave, they could only make a right-hand turn continuing in a northerly direction to come up here to the intersection of Fishburne and Governor Road. Is that correct?
Correct.
In your opinion, would the creation of the median be a direct impact on Mr. Blumberg's ability to get in and out of his property?
Because the left turns are being restricted for that property, there is an impact to the access. And that's why as part of the HOP process, it's required to... permit the driveways and get the property owner's approval for that restriction, for that part of the process.
Right. Now, again, I realize you did not prepare this document, Mr. Sump, but can you tell from looking at it, the design, does it appear that there would be any taking of any of the frontage of Mr. Blumberg's property in order to widen the road a little bit at this location?
Yeah, it's expected that there would be a right-of-way impact to the Blumberg property noted up there in blue, the sub-turn restriction and right-of-way, because we expect some of the road and the grading associated with it will occur outside of the existing PennDOT right-of-way.
Now, also on this exhibit, in this blue box, we see the initials ROW for right-of-way, and it's located at the rear of the Corrado property and the rear of the Blumberg property. Do you know if that currently is a legally existing right-of-way, or is that simply a proposed right-of-way?
What's labeled there in blue?
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, sorry, that's indicating that the right-of-way would be required from that property owner for the work on the front end of the property along Fishburne Road. That was not intending to be labeling a stretch of public right-of-way at the rear of his property.
So that's just showing a proposed location of something that would be needed.
As indicating that right-of-way would be needed from that property owner, again, not indicating where it was or what the limits of it. We know this was too preliminary to know.
Right.
But just we expected that there would be right-of-way required as part of this project for that from that property owner.
Going back to the Governor Crossing property, would it be possible if land were taken from what would be the west side of Fishburne Road here to widen Fishburne Road to improve the traffic flow through this intersection, Would that make any difference in the design if you have a wider piece of land to work with, to pave, to put vehicles on? Create another lane of traffic, for example, running parallel to the existing traffic, and just another full lane going from, say, the Pork Chop up to Fishburne Road. Oh, excuse me, up to Governor Road.
An additional widening on the west side of Fishburne to add an additional lane, or just to shift all the lanes further to the west?
Two-part question. I think the first part would be to add an additional lane. Would it be of any benefit to have an additional lane of traffic? I can't get this thing done. There I am. An additional lane of traffic, what would be along the west side to extend the width of Fishburne Road, to take some of this land from the development and use it for roadway? Would that be of any help?
Certainly, the traffic study didn't show that additional improvements were needed beyond the configuration that they're showing here. To widen that a little bit, I'm not sure you would gain too much. You can't add another through lane because you need to have a longer portion of roadway widened to have another through lane. You already have a right turn lane into the site. You have left and right turn lanes approaching 322. I'm not sure there'd be much benefit in additional widening to the capacity of the intersection.
Let's go back to the right in, right out. The Sheets trucks, the prior testimony indicated some of these trucks are 53 feet long. And I think you've even raised the concern yourself. As these vehicles go to exit, because it's going to be a right only coming out, and you show this hatch mark in here, and clearly you don't want vehicles on that surface, do you?
Yeah, I think it's being shown as flush striping for the purpose that turning trucks could overrun that area, but cars are not intended to use that area to drive it, keep them in the travel lanes, not in that extra width shoulder, if you will.
Now, a 53-foot truck exiting, making the right-hand turn only coming out of here, doesn't have a lot of width before it's going to come up against the proposed median, does it?
That's correct.
Could you conceive of a situation where a driver maybe doesn't quite make his turn properly and he sort of gets caught up here? Now he may have to back up a little bit to get a little better angle to exit. Could that happen?
I suppose anything could happen. A car could be the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my experience has been that the truck turn exhibits that are run tend to be a little bit conservative, more geared towards the novice truck driver, if you will. Those truck drivers can make a truck turn a little bit tighter than what those exhibits show.
Mm-hmm.
But the exhibits were showing that right turn can be made without leaving the pavement, without hitting the median or overrunning the curb. But again, it would take up that entire striped area or both striped area.
Hey, just a few more questions. The traffic impact study has been presented. The township has evaluated it. I think your testimony just a moment ago was that there's at least a phase one HOP that's being prepared. Is that correct? Or did I misunderstand?
I'm not understanding the phase one HOP. I think that there are HOP plans that have been prepared as to permit, generally the improvements that are shown on the screen.
And who has seen those proposed plans to this point? Have you seen them?
We have seen them, and PennDOT has seen them.
Has the township, has the Board of Supervisors seen them?
They were submitted to the township for review. We reviewed them on behalf. I don't know if the board members looked at them specifically or not.
Do you have a kind of a reference point in time, a date and time when this may have been submitted to the township, approximately?
Maybe February, but I could look it up if you give me a minute.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think, if you have to look it up, Mr. Stumptus, you don't know.
Oh, sure. But maybe you know, Mr. Nelson. Has the township actually received?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, then maybe I will let you look it up.
I think he's on the witness stand. He shouldn't be looking things up on the computer while we know.
Well, I would request that Mr. Stump, when he has the convenient time, that he determine that date and that he make us aware of that date. I'd appreciate knowing that. I think it's a reasonable request.
He can make it. He can make you aware outside the hearing.
Yeah.
It's
Oh, yeah.
To be part of the record.
Oh no, that's fine. Thank you. I'll give you my card. You can send me an email. But I just want to explore a few more questions regarding the HOP. Then, so. Something has been drafted. Lines have been put on paper. A design has been made. It's been submitted to PennDOT, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And apparently it's been delivered to Derry Township.
That's correct.
Okay. I don't think, though, anybody has yet discussed it in one of these public meetings. I don't think it's ever been offered as an exhibit, has it?
It has not.
Okay. So the process of the HOP is that when a plan is finally, all the details are worked out and something is submitted to PennDOT, it's PennDOT that has to approve and issue the HOP. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's not a Derry Township decision.
Now, I think what it provides us is more of a courtesy copy of the submission that was made to PennDOT.
Okay. To the best of your knowledge, does the... The current HOP that has been submitted to PennDOT, does it differ dramatically from this exhibit that we're looking at right now?
There are differences, but no, I would not say it does not differ dramatically. No.
Okay. There's still a median strip. There's still a pork chop.
Correct.
There's still relocated Sand Hill Road. There's still a traffic light. There's still traffic going into the alley in both directions. Is that correct? Okay. Now, if any landowner is adversely impacted by the proposed HOP, what does the applicant have to do to satisfy PennDOT requirements?
So I outlined that, I think, the last meeting or the meeting before, or earlier in my testimony. There's a process that they have, depending on what that impact is. You need to go to approach the property owner, and whether you need to get right away, you need to get a driveway permit, permission to install a median in front of their property or a turn lane in front of their property. You may need to get their approval to do so, because that may affect their future access.
That's all laid out by PennDOT, is it not, in its Highway Occupancy Permit Operations Manual, Chapter 2?
Yes.
Okay. And again, I believe that was part of Mr. McNair's exhibit as well.
Yes.
Okay. So we've been through that. There's no need to go through it right now at this time. But would you not agree that one of the issues that the applicant has to deal with is any landowner whose access to his property would be adversely impacted by this plan? They have to go to that person and see if they can work out a solution to the problem. Would you agree with that?
That's correct.
I've held off, but I'm going to object. The highway occupancy permit process is not part of this application. It's a process that would come later. Mm-hmm. The ordinance only requires that the applicant, as part of a master plan application, submit a traffic impact study, which was done. Mm-hmm. It was reviewed. We've talked about it for hours upon hours upon hours. We've also had clear testimony that the HOP process is a process that will occur subsequent to the process that we're going through now. We just don't need to belabor the HOP process any longer for purposes of this hearing. So I would object to any further questions about the HOP process. It's been covered.
Well, I only have one other question, and it does have to do with...
Well, we need to act on the objection.
I don't agree with it.
Yes, obviously. If you only have one other question, then ask that question. Otherwise, the board would have to agree that we are getting off into areas that really are not part of this application and need to rein it back in. Thank you.
What happens if the HOP is not obtained?
If the HOP for the driveway is not obtained, it's possible that the driveway could be removed, and maybe they're getting HOP for other improvements. Maybe you're looking at alternatives, or that might not does have the right to deny an HOP altogether if it meets certain criteria.
And last question, if PennDOT did deny the HOP, what would happen to this project?
It wouldn't get billed as currently being shown.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you.
I don't think Mr. Mike Miller, I don't believe he's here. This means, Mr. Miller, are you cat keeping again?
Yeah, kind of. He'd like to go first on this.
Okay. Mr. Doug Miller, please.
Douglas Miller, Seedlings Academy.
I'm sorry?
Douglas Miller, Seedlings Academy. Mr. Stump, when you were cross-examined by Mr. Strong at the last meeting, you stated that, at the beginning, you stated that your calculations disagreed somewhat with the traffic study, and that the Fishburne Road 322 intersection would see an 8 to 10% increase in traffic, as stated on Exhibit 829, Table 1. Is that only during a certain time of year when the population of Derry Township doubles, or during a certain time of day, or is it just 8 to 10% in general?
It's 8 to 10% compared to the volumes that are there year-round without the development.
Okay. Do your calculations of that 8 to 10% include the new chocolate factory with new employees, additional milk trucks, or other truck traffic required by the new factory?
I don't recall if that factory was included as part of the TIS or not, but there were some background developments that would have been included. If they were identified when the study began, that would have been included. Again, I don't remember the timing of whether that figure development was included or not.
Okay. Because just as a side note, Fishburne Road is heavily used by trucks of all types, milk trucks, whatever. Did your calculations include Hershey West End?
I don't believe they did. I think Hershey West End was far enough away from the project that did not directly account for the traffic from that development. There is some background growth rate or growth that's incorporated into the calculations to project out to future years. Mm-hmm. And development that's that far away from the study area is typically included in that. So it wasn't directly included, but...
Okay. At the end of Mr. Strong's cross, you stated that you do not think there will be increased traffic. And I'm not trying to set you up here. I'm just curious as to which one you actually believe. Will there be an increase or will there not be an increase?
I don't think I said that there would not be an increase in traffic. I might have said there would not be a significant increase in delay or queues or the other metrics that we're looking at in the traffic study.
Okay.
The traffic numbers, purely the traffic numbers, there would be an increase compared to what's there with traffic development at that intersection.
Okay. So thus far we've heard a lot of testimony about traffic congestion, Fishburne 322, Sand Hill. They're all problem intersections. But let's move the conversation to safety. Is the primary concern with these intersections mostly congestion, or is it also safety? In other words, are accidents a significant issue at either of these intersections?
I think
I don't believe that we received crash analysis or crash reports. We did look at the crashes at the Sandhill and Fishburne Road intersection, and saw that there were some crashes over the last 5 years. Not a huge number, but there were certainly some crashes there. I don't remember looking at data or having been presented data at 322 and Fishburne-Hoppersville intersection.
Okay, so primarily there was no real safety data as part of the traffic study.
Correct. I think it was focused on the capacity and levels of service.
Okay. So we're not necessarily looking to move the Sandhill-Fishburne intersection because of safety issues. It's more a congestion issue.
I think there's concern that more traffic there would need to more crashes, and certainly pulling out of the two-way intersection that meets signal warrants can be its own safety issues. I think there was considerations from that standpoint, but also there's a capacity benefit and a delay and really may attract more traffic that way that maybe now using 322.
Okay. At the end of Mr. Strong's cross, you also stated that you believe a relocated signalized intersection is warranted for Fishburne Sandhill Road, correct?
Correct.
Is a relocated signalized intersection the only option?
I don't know that I would say it's the only option. I don't think it's generally not the responsibility of a developer to look at every option and identify the best option for any situation. It's really a matter of mitigating their site traffic and making sure that what they are proposing is an improvement from what's there without them.
Okay. But in testimony last meeting, Mr. Strong asked you if this plan was actually in the works, or at least had been suggested and offered prior to the developer coming for the application. And you said yes.
I think the concept of relocating Sandhill Road, signalizing that intersection, and also the extending down to Cherry predates this conditional use application. That's what your question.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so, but is that the only option for that intersection, just from a township perspective?
That's the one that's been planned for perhaps 20 years. That believes on their official map, has been in their comprehensive plan. So I don't know if it's, again, somebody else came up with a different idea. Certainly there could be another option on the table, but that's the one that's been identified in the past as
right, but that's not necessarily the only option.
Sure, if you close Sandhill Road, put it all together. There may be another option.
Okay, well that brings me to my, you kind of struck it. So, you know, obviously I'm not a traffic engineer, but wouldn't it be prudent to investigate all of the options and present other options to the township instead of just that single option?
I think the traffic impact study requirements identified to mitigate site traffic and to look at the impact of the development traffic and then to provide recommendations to provide safe and efficient movement of traffic.
Okay. Chuck, could you put up under Governor Crossing Center the very last whole file? So would it be possible that a single lane roundabout that does not impact anybody else's property except the developers, would that be an option?
Could be an option. I don't know that it would be viable. Generally, you don't want roads going straight into roundabout, so you want to put some curves in there to slow speeds down.
Right, but I'm thinking that this is just a superimposed thing. It's just as an offer. But Yes, it would have to be designed and things, but would a roundabout be something that might want to be considered?
So that, as you said, there would be one lane in each direction. So that means the three lanes of Kielman we have, you know, left turn lane, a through lane, and a right turn lane. Now you're putting all that traffic into one lane. There's concern with having a roundabout close to a signal. It's better to have two signals close to one another than it is a roundabout and a signal. The signals can be timed to minimize the queues between the two intersections. Again, you have the extra turn lanes to deal with some of the stacking. And if queuing, say, from the signal off the Governor Road were to queue back through into the roundabout, you kind of lock up the entire roundabout, whereas a queue extending past an intersection affects one movement, but other movements can still occur. So for a variety of reasons, it's generally preferable to have a signal close to another signal if you have two busy intersections close to one another. Again, not to say that this couldn't occur. And really that is part of the PennDOT process. When they look at a new signal, part of their process is to consider a roundabout to see if that's maybe a better treatment.
So they automatically do that?
They call it an intersection control evaluation, ICE evaluation, ICE.
Okay.
To consider alternatives and, you know, is a new signal the right treatment? That evaluation can be done in different stages. Sometimes it's not just at the concept level and say, yeah, roundabout doesn't make sense here, and then kind of move on. Sometimes if it's more of an isolated location, maybe they look into it more for traffic volume to support it, right away available. Maybe something they need to look into further.
Okay.
But it is part of the PennDOT process for a new signal to consider roundabout instead.
Okay. All right. What about the possibility of just totally getting rid of the intersection and taking Sand Hill straight through to Route 322 with a right turn only onto Route 322?
So you'd be able to make a right out and right in, is that what you're saying?
Yes. I mean, where the current right in, right out plan is now, just take Sand Hill Road straight through to 322. And if people want to make a left-hand turn onto 322, they can do it from Cherry Drive.
So I think there might have, so you're talking about the same location, really, where the right in driveway is currently proposed. I think there was discussion about, could you do a right-in, right-out driveway at that location? And other things that now it's too close to the signal. We don't want to have rights out there. Cutting across turn lanes.
Well, the plan is that there's already a right-in, right-out there. According to the plan, there is already a right-in, right-out access to the parking lot off of 322.
Correct, but that doesn't serve the volume of traffic that's on Sand Hill Road.
Correct.
That would be in the development.
So what I'm saying is if we did do that, you're saying that wouldn't be possible because of the volume.
I think PennDOT would have concern with the rights out there on the Governor Road.
Okay. All right. Could you help me understand right-of-way a little bit? Chuck, if you could put up PIC 11. Okay, so this is looking south. We are south of the newly proposed intersection. One other thing I'm a little confused on is where right-of-way starts. So does PennDOT's right-of-way end at where at the shoulder, at the end of the shoulder where the grass is, or does it end at the white line?
So every road's different, has different plans of record to show how wide the right-of-way is. Typically, the right-of-way is wider than the paved surface. So at least a couple feet into the grass, if not further. General rule
near the right-of-way line, either just inside or just outside of the right-of-way. Not always the case, but yeah.
Okay. So if testimony has been given that an additional 5 feet, could you put up picture 12, please? So this is looking from the end of the shoulder to the sign, and that is 12 feet 2 inches. So you're saying that the right-of-way extends into the grass, just probably beyond that telephone pole there, straight down. And then PennDOT is asking for, would be asking for, according to testimony, an additional 5 feet on top of that. Correct?
Correct. Half a left turn lane width. And I think the left turn lane is 11 feet, so that's where the 5.5 is coming from, 5.5 feet from either side of the road.
So we're talking about pretty much right up against that sign is where the right-of-way would come. Now, is there... I also saw somewhere, I thought, in earlier meetings, that there is a proposed sidewalk that is thought is being proposed to go from 322 down to Giant on the east side. Do you know if that's a part of this proposal?
I don't believe that was part of this proposal, but I believe that I had seen plans or the concept to make that connection.
Okay. How much more right-of-way do you believe would be required for a sidewalk?
Typically, sidewalk is 4 or 5 foot wide.
Okay. So we're talking about an extra 10 feet closer to our child care buildings.
So the right-of-way would not necessarily be extended. That sidewalk would be within that buffer of right-of-way that we're already talking about. So the right-of-way may not push as far as the attack sidewalk might be in another 10 feet or so toward the property.
Okay.
If that were installed, okay, that's not planned as far as I know as part of this project.
Okay. If you could go, Chuck, to pick C. It's up closer to the top. No, I thought it was. Anyway. Go up. Keep going. Google Earth picks C. All right, so you had said that... So this is seedlings here. This is our first building. We have three different buildings here right next to each other. These two buildings are serviced by this single driveway. And this building here is serviced by this driveway with the parking back here and parking back in here. You testified that the alley at the intersection right here with Fishburne Road will need to be widened. You're just talking about the intersection itself, where people enter the intersection, and not widening the alley completely.
Correct. Yeah, back far enough where you're beyond where vehicles would be stacked waiting to exit the signal.
Okay. So these people here that live in the apartment building would lose their parking here, basically. And possibly the parking for the driveway for Mr. Corrado's house.
I don't know how that would... Again, I haven't seen a design that proposed the widening. I don't know which side they widen to or how they modify the parking and where they place it or they turn it into parallel. I don't know.
Okay.
What would occur there, but all right. There would be some impact to the properties from the widening of that alley.
So I went down the alley and did measurements for the entire alley. And here it is 15 feet. Here at the bend, it is 18 feet. And this is a blind bend here. I'll show you pictures of it here. There's a dumpster right here. This is 20 feet right here. And this here, you had said it was 14.4. It's actually 18.6. So you had testified, Mr. Strong had asked you about whether this alley is a one-way or a two-way alley, and you said it's a two-way alley. Is that simply, was your answer simply because it has not been designated a one-way alley?
Correct. There's no one-way restriction on the alley.
Okay. But when it comes to 15 feet and 18 feet, you had testified earlier that that would not be large enough for two-way traffic, correct?
Along a roadway, correct.
Okay. All right.
And driveways and alleys, but there are lots of driveways that may be narrower than that. But certainly near the intersection, you would want it to a local road standard.
Okay. So you had testified earlier, or someone had testified earlier, that with this yellow line here is the turning lane, slowing taper, Fishburne Road, all that. Everything goes back to here in front of one of Dr. Kramer's properties. So that directly impacts ceilings in that if there's a turning lane here and a taper, you're saying that there would be no left-hand turns allowed from southbound into our driveways here. And by the way, those trees, this is an old picture. These trees aren't here anymore. But it would not be allowed here, and it would not be allowed here. And ours would also only be right in and right out only, correct?
I think we've asked the applicant to confirm which restrictions would be required during the HOP process, and then negotiate with the property owners to obtain permission to make those restrictions.
Well,
I don't know if ultimately it's going to be restricted to be right in, right out, or not.
But PennDOT has already stated on their comments with their, and I can't remember which exhibit it is, but on their comments on the plan, that they do not want anyone turning left or turning left into those properties along the turn lane or the taper.
That has been PennDOT's request. Again, that's once you start talking with property owners, they're still not at that stage. But once they get to that point of the HOP process, if that creates impacts to the properties, that creates circulation, other safety issues. Sometimes might not be receptive to that and doesn't ultimately require that. So that's why I'm
okay.
Not sure exactly how it's going to be designed or ultimately permitted. There is kind of a process to go through before we finalize exactly which properties have which impacts.
So how would you propose, if this is right turn only, in fact, right now, by township requirements, we are in only and out the alley. That's a township requirement for us as a business, okay, for us to get the approval. So if this is no longer able to go in left, where would you suggest people come in?
I don't know the circulation of the building, whether they could use one of the other alleys from the rear or not, if that's practical. If it's practical to circulate through your other driveway, come back out to Fishburne, and they go right in, or...
They're both this direction, east only.
So both alleys are restricted to one way.
These are driveways. These are not alleys.
Yeah,
these are driveways.
Yep.
So these driveways are east only. That's what township requires of us. So if we are not allowed to turn left here, I'm assuming you're going to say, well, they can come in the alley. But that means they're coming in from the back and going west, which is not allowed. So how do we solve that problem?
I don't know if there's the ability to make it two-way at the rear of the site.
There is
no way. Just have it one-way at the front.
There is no possible way to make it two-way.
Then big people would need to come in from the other direction, you know, from the south along Fishburne.
Okay.
Unless we're permitted differently for two-way access as part of this project or some other modification. But
okay.
Again, I think that's part of what you need to flush out when you're discussing with property owners or what the site restrictions are and, you know, what solutions might there be to overcome that.
Chuck, can you put up pick four, please?
Actually, we're past our normal stopping point, so
okay.
We're going to take a break. We're going to save 5 minutes and probably be back.
Okay. All right. Thank you.